Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I believe that it should be up to the youth as to whether or not they want their story heard.
Advocates for foster children fight to protect their privacy in juvenile courts. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I'm Emily Frost. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down Proposition 8, California's same-sex marriage ban, today. As Andrea Kowalczyk reports, it was a 2-1 decision.
The plaintiffs, their families, and members of the American Foundation for Equal Rights gathered in downtown Los Angeles today to celebrate what they call a historic victory. In a narrow 2-1 decision, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found that Proposition 8 violated the United States Constitution by taking away the right to marry from a minority group. American Foundation for Equal Rights President Chad Griffin says the ruling sent the message marriage is a right for all Americans.
Make no mistake about it, today is a historic victory for marriage equality and freedom and for the plaintiffs and their families behind me, but it is a monumental loss for those who oppose marriage equality, freedom, and liberty.
Paul Gautami, his partner Jeff Cirillo, and Chris Perry and her partner Sandy Steer were all plaintiffs in the case. Each took the stage with their families to thank supporters. Gautami says the ruling is a victory for equal rights.
And today's decision is important to that young me that never dreamt that I would wake up in a country where I could marry the person that I love. I never allowed myself that opportunity until today.
The case is far from over. Supporters of Prop 8 can appeal in the Ninth Circuit or go straight to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's the likely scenario, according to Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council, an anti-gay marriage group who helped campaign for Prop 8.
I disagree with the decision of the court. I don't believe there is any constitutional violation in Proposition 8, and in fact, I believe that the people of California have the sovereign right to amend their constitution in the way that they did.
It is unknown where the case will go in the courts, but gay rights groups are mobilizing to get another initiative on the ballot for November. Andrea Kowalczyk, Annenberg Radio News.
With 14% unemployment in Los Angeles, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa would like to put people to work building a high-speed rail line in California. He held a news conference a short time ago with U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. Logan Healy joins us from Union Station. Logan, what did the mayor and Secretary LaHood have to say?
Well, the big message coming from the mayor and Secretary LaHood today was jobs. Jobs from an investment in high-speed rail. Mayor Villaraigosa said a California high-speed rail initiative would ultimately lead to 800,000 new jobs, with 400,000 being a direct result of the program. Secretary LaHood called high-speed rail the next generation of transportation and said the federal government has already allocated $3.5 billion for California's high-speed rail corridor. Now, the goal of that corridor is to create a high-speed rail connection between Los Angeles and San Francisco, as well as other connections statewide. Art Leahy, the CEO of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, said 12 rail projects are already in the works that make this relatively vacant Union Station building much busier. The projects would connect Los Angeles to cities like Seattle, San Diego, and Chicago, and others nationwide. With skepticism mounting about the cost and effectiveness of the California corridor, Dan Richard, the chairman of the California High Speed Rail Authority, said ridership projections for the corridor have been based on the most conservative estimates of population growth and other factors. He said that none of the speakers at today's press conference wanted to launch a system with no riders. Some were concerned that President Obama didn't mention high speed rail in his State of the Union last month, except to say that in the next few weeks he would sign an executive order clearing away the red tape that slows down too many construction projects. Secretary LaHood was careful not to give away any details about how President Obama's new budget coming out next Monday would affect the high-speed rail initiative in California, but Mayor Villaraigosa optimistically jumped in saying that I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Also, on an unrelated topic, Secretary LaHood said that he spoke to his son today, but he would offer no more than that. His son was in danger in Afghanistan.
Right. Thank you so much, Logan. The LAUSD's Board of Education voted unanimously today to fire a second teacher at Miramonte Elementary in South LA. Martin Springer was arrested Friday and charged with three counts of committing a lewd act on a child. Former Miramonte teacher Mark Burnt was arrested earlier last week. The two arrests prompted school superintendent John Dacey to replace Miramonte's entire staff. The decisive action is meant to appease outraged parents and assist sheriff's deputies with the investigation. But as Veronica Villafañe explains, the issue of broken trust may be taking an emotional toll on overwhelmed teachers.
The entire 128-person staff of Miramonte Elementary has been removed from the school. Superintendent John Dacey has said every adult who works at Miramonte will be interviewed. During a press conference, he emphasized that the teachers' relocation doesn't mean they've done anything wrong. USC education professor Alan Green says that message may not be clear for the relocated teachers.
I gotta imagine that the entire community at Miramonte is in a state of disequilibrium. The allegations and the events that have been taking place over the last week or so have really kind of shocked the school, I would imagine, to its core.
LAUSD officials have said they will provide counselors for the Miramonte teachers while the investigation continues. Professor Green says the emotional impact on the teachers shouldn't be dismissed. Many of them have developed relationships and attachments to their students.
Their reaction are going to be like any normal human being. There's going to be anger, frustration, maybe some guilt in the form of, did I do enough to protect everyone, or should I have noticed something?
The teachers' union would not give interviews on the relocation of the educators, but in a statement said they support thorough, vigorous, and fair investigation of all allegations. The school is shut down for 2 days and will reopen on Thursday morning with replacement teachers. As part of the overhaul at Miramonte, classes will now be taught by a two-person team, an instructor and a counselor, to help students focus on learning. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Veronica Villafañe.
Outraged Miramonte parents are taking the school district to court. Evan Budrovich has more.
Miramonte Elementary School parents are joining together to take legal action. Dozens of outraged parents staged a rally outside their school this morning, demanding better education and a safer environment for their children. Lawyer Luis Carrillo is filing a lawsuit against the school district on behalf of the parents. According to Carrillo, everybody fell asleep at the wheel, and the responsibility lies with the school district for failure to protect the kids. Meanwhile, both men accused are on bail for over $1 million per afflicted student. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
The Board of Education also fired a teacher at Hamilton High School, who is also being investigated for sexual abuse. Music instructor Vance Miller has taught in LAUSD schools for more than 35 years. Miller allegedly showered nakedly with students and kissed kids on the lips in class. One former student, now 31, claims Miller began a sexual relationship with him when he was 13. No criminal charges have been filed. Advocates for foster kids are trying to derail a court order that would open their stories to public scrutiny. Devin Alschel reports.
Nothing About Us Without Us was the slogan at today's news conference held by the California Youth Connection and foster youth organizations outside the Ronald Reagan State Building. They came together to voice support for a lawsuit that would appeal a blanket order made by Los Angeles Judge Michael Nash. His order would open juvenile court hearings to the public and media. Nash's ruling applies largely to cases concerning child abuse, foster care, and adoption proceedings in court. Leslie Hemov, executive director of the Children's Law Center of California, believes that opening up these cases makes it harder for children's right to be protected.
If the proceedings are open and information gets out, that would lead to identifying who the child is with or where they're living, what school they've changed to, their physical safety could be threatened.
Lucius Bosch grew up in the foster care system. He knows how hard it is to become comfortable with your story.
Foster youth who are under the age of 18 and don't necessarily have the maturity or the growth to be able to do that no longer have the choice to make it their own. You know, I don't feel that it's fair.
Judge Nash says that the order will not grant automatic entry into these cases.
The blanket order is designed to establish a process and clear guidelines for how the press and the public can have access to dependency court proceedings in light of existing law.
In some cases, children may want their story to be heard, but the CYC believes there needs to be a choice and a case-by-case assessment of whether any of the information could be harmful. This is Devin Ouchel, Annenberg Radio News.
In weather, grab your umbrellas. As expected, we had some rain showers this morning. They may start up again this evening. Tonight's lows will be in the high 40s. A few sprinkles will continue into tomorrow morning. You can count on partly cloudy skies and a high of 70. The sun will come out on Thursday. We'll have a rain-free day with highs in the upper 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News. A Berkeley law professor analyzes what today's Prop 8 ruling means for the future of gay marriage in California. If you found yourself muttering, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times," there's a reason. Jessica Coslow has the answer.
Today marks the 200th birthday of Charles Dickens, author of masterpieces like A Christmas Carol, Oliver Twist, and A Tale of Two Cities. Only Shakespeare was more prolific, creating new characters. Dickens tackled topics that remain relevant today, most notably economic inequality. His sensitivity to class issues most likely took shape in his childhood. His father landed the family of 10 in debtor's prison, which only 12-year-old Charles escaped by working in a shoe polish factory. Creating a vocabulary of words that are still in use today, like bah humbug and butterfingers, Dickens's words remain long after the author. Ethel at the Crenshaw Village Goodwill admits she's used Dickens' words unknowingly, especially during one specific time of year.
Christmas time, everyone's a Scrooge, bah humbug.
So the next time you are fluxamed, bewildered, see the magician David Copperfield, or hear somebody exclaim, "What the Dickens?" you won't be lost in translation. Jessica Coslow, Annenberg Radio News.
Parents and teachers are rallying to protest the latest wave of education cuts. Julia Deng has the story.
Governor Jerry Brown is proposing to eliminate $223 million of school funding that fuels early childhood education. A transitional pre-kindergarten program called TK is the first thing that would go. Governor Brown is hoping to save money and aid economic recovery with the cuts. But LAUSD teacher Jose Lara believes needier students will suffer the most without TK.
Early childhood education specifically serves families who are at or below the 75% state median income. So these programs were specifically targeted to low-income students.
And it's not just kids from cash-strapped families. Lara says TK programs are also essential for students in majority non-white areas.
Black, Latino, or Asian elementary schools. So these are the schools where the majority of the students are minorities, and they need extra support for our youngest children.
If Governor Brown's proposal goes through, more than 100,000 of these children could ultimately be kicked out of school. Child education expert Gisela Ragusa says this could reverse the previous success of early education programs.
And we have, based on, in some cases, 47 years of research from the old Head Start and Perry preschool projects nationally, lots of information that a pre-K program has worked well for kids, particularly those in need.
Governor Brown has not yet responded to the statewide protests, but the current proposal is at odds with the Kindergarten Readiness Act of 2010. Julia Deng, Annenberg Radio News.
We return now to our top story. Earlier today, a federal appeals court struck down Proposition 8, California's ban on same-sex marriage. The backers of Prop 8, a coalition called Protect Marriage, will most likely appeal the decision. They may appeal directly to the Supreme Court. I spoke with Berkeley Law professor Jesse Chopper about his reaction to the ruling. He specializes in constitutional law.
It seems to me that the most important thing, although it's not the one with the greatest sex appeal, if you'll excuse the pun, is that this is simply one step pursuant to a longer journey. The first thing, it seems to me, that it is extremely likely that the losers will do, and those are the proponents of Proposition 8, that they're going to ask for an en banc review by the Ninth Circuit, because they don't have anything to lose. The only thing is it can take more time, and I don't think time means very much to them, because I'm quite confident as well that there will be a stay of the order, and that gay marriage will not go on until a subsequent decision is granted.
And do you think that the Supreme Court would even take such a case, or is it too broad?
There's a strong chance that they will take the case, especially if it is declared unconstitutional. I wouldn't want to put them in percentages, but a very high percentage that they'll take it if it's declared unconstitutional. Very high. And a quite high percentage even if it's not.
If it gets to the Supreme Court, how do you think they're likely to rule? Do you have any predictions?
It'd be very, very speculative to predict. I think that there are four justices there who are quite clearly against holding it unconstitutional. There are probably a couple who will be pretty clearly in the other direction. I think there are two who it's just too early to tell. That's Justices Kagan and Sotomayor, to predict with any confidence. Even if the four more liberally oriented justices go to holding that it's unconstitutional, the other four will hold not, then it comes down to one justice, and that's Anthony Kennedy. And I would not predict, I don't know which way he's going to go. And in fact, I don't think he knows quite which way he would go, particularly if it's the swing vote and the determining vote.
If they did rule in favor of gay marriage, what would that mean for states that are currently banning it?
It would mean that their laws would be unconstitutional. It's the same thing that Brown against the Board of Education meant for states that had laws requiring segregation in the schools.
Do you think we'll have a decision on gay marriage in the next year, or will this be a drawn-out process?
I think it's going to take more than a year. If they go for the en banc review, that's going to take a while. And I would say, even if everything goes very, very quickly, I would be surprised if you had a decision as early as next June.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor Chopper.
You're welcome.
That was Berkeley Law Professor Jesse Chopper. The black market is expanding beyond cars and jewelry. Police say thieves are now going after tubas. Bell High School is the latest target in a string of tuba robberies. Two of the marching band's $6,000 tubas were stolen over the weekend. Huntington Park High, Southgate High, and Centennial High have all reported similar thefts during the past few months. Police haven't made any arrests. Bell's band director says the thieves only took tubas and left the remaining instruments untouched. Now we check in with Kendall Fisher to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Kendall.
Thank you very much. Tonight on ATVN, we will bring you live updates on the Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri caucus. We also have an interesting story on how one Pennsylvania college is selling Plan B in vending machines. And finally, we have the story on two LA area students who are currently in Washington, D.C. competing at a national science fair. You can catch that on Trojan Vision at 6 p.m. or online at atvn.org.
Thank you so much, Kendall. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Anna Catherine Brigida, Raunuk Khosla, and John Debold. Aaron Schrank is our producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Emily Frost.